Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Oh boy, we're really going to open up a can of worms here today, aren't we?
Anything to increase our ratings.
You just had to bring this up.
This is ratings week in podcast world. Did you know that?
Is it really?
You know,
I don't know.
You're making.
I have no idea.
Our church decided that they would start a drama ministry.
Yes.
Little did I know that meant talking about the convention and things going on.
That is a drama ministry.
It is a drama ministry.
Are there still drama ministries?
Yeah.
You still see those around?
Sure.
Oh yeah.
I just bought two puppets online.
Dude, you're trying to bring back the puppet ministry.
I bought two puppets.
That's
and my
just
wife,
creepy.
She asked me, she said, something came from Amazon today. What was it? I said, something I ordered. What was it? Because we got that dumb Ring doorbell, so she sees when something comes.
Oh, yeah.
I said, there's a couple of puppets. And she looked at me like I was the most disappointed person in her life. She said, what does a man your age want with puppets? And I said, they're vintage puppets. She says, does that makes it any better? What she doesn't know is I've since bought two more.
Oh, boy.
But these came in the mail, and our mailbox is away from our house, so she doesn't see that on Ring.
Oh,
but
man.
I used to do puppets, and I got grandkids, and
listen,
I kind of want to
bring
do
it back.
Puppets.
Let's see what happens.
I think
bring
we should
back.
Bring it back.
Seriously.
I think we should have a –
could be the next church growth fad. Puppet ministries
puppet
are
ministry
back.
And the bus ministry.
Bus ministry. What we need to do is we need to paint up a bus with bright colors, get a whole box of candy, go to some park, and ask kids to get on the bus
Dude,
with
this
us.
Sounds about as creepy as
All right. Well, that's what we did 40 years ago. What we're talking about today is denominational drama. Now, I realize most of you have no idea what we're talking about. No, really.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. It's always been all over the place, by the way. As we said here at the North American Mission Board, we're doing this series of podcasts at the North American Mission Board. My first day at the North American Mission Board was 1986, when it was the home mission board way down on Spring Street. So I've been around for a while. And there was drama in 1986. There's always been drama. And there's drama today. So the question is, as a pastor, how do you communicate that to your church? Should you communicate that to your church? What's the deal with all of the denominational drama that goes on? And look, we're a family of churches, and we have disagreements over things. But how much of that do you share? Mm. So what would you say, Mark? Mark is not Ray Southern Baptist, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So by the way, we haven't introduced everybody yet.
Oh, we haven't.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
This is sitting over here is Mark Halleck.
Hey, guys.
From Denver.
You keep putting up with
He's
me. Thank you.
He's the Calvary Church in Denver. And Dan Hurst.
I'm Dan Hurst. And,
I'm Mark.
There's
and
Mark Clifton.
Over here, I've got four of my puppets.
Do you have names
this
for
is,
them?
Yeah.
Do you name your puppets?
Yeah,
seriously.
I do.
You
it's,
do?
What is their names?
Oh, no. Oh, come on.
I'll think of
I
it.
I mean, it's just, he's dead serious.
Let's put him in the notes.
We'll put him in the notes.
Put him in the notes. Pray for the puppets.
What's the four? What was the? Never mind. They'll have to edit this
out. Okay, no.
But it costs too much to edit things out, so we just keep going.
Keep it in there.
All right. Hamilton, okay. Frank, and Reynolds. That's
there
the
they
name
are.
Of
that's there the they
name.
Are.
Okay, hey, anyway.
Okay.
Talk to us about you're new, relatively new Southern Baptist life, but your church is an old Southern Baptist church.
Right, exactly. That's
so,
right.
So, number one.
Yeah, so number one is this. You likely don't need to unpack it to the entire church, okay, especially as you preach. And I think there could be such a temptation with that. I know we'll talk about this in a few moments, but it seems to me that there's some guys are just obsessed with this stuff, especially on social media. Like I said, we'll talk about that.
You're talking about guys in the convention.
Yeah, in the convention. Just pastors who I think...
Who think just, that their opinion matters.
Yeah, and they're just overly obsessed with the drama. And I think this takes a lot of discernment. I think we've got to be really wise as far as what do we share and what do we not share. Is this going to be helpful? Is this going to be edifying? Especially as you preach, because... Let's be honest, man. We know that on every Sunday morning, you're going to have folks out there. They're broken and they're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And they need hope. Yeah. They need hope. They don't need drama. They need hope. There are those in your congregation who are not Christians. They're unregenerated. And so they're coming to hear the gospel. They don't know what to do with drama. And so what I would emphasize especially is you got to be really careful how you approach the pulpit when it comes to unpacking denominational drama. Would you agree with
Absolutely.
That,
Absolutely. People come on Sunday morning many of them are crushed. By the way, if you always say, hey, you know, aren't you? Everybody smile. Well, some people don't feel like smiling, right? That's another story for another day. But people come on Sunday morning. Some of them are really crushed. They've got a terrible week. They've heard bad news. They're concerned. Some are really seeking. They're not even sure about the truth anymore. They're not believers. They're unconverted. It's not the place to begin to unpack all the nuances of what's going on in our convention. And what often happens is it's so much on the pastor's mind, and we'll get to why in a minute. It's so much on his mind and his heart that sometimes it comes out in his illustrations or kind of seeps out a little bit. You know, it's so bad that even in our own convention, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Well, now you just laid an egg right there. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
How are those people who have no idea what the convention is, people who aren't even members of your church, people who are worried because their son now is completely addicted to opioids and they've got to figure, and you just laid something out there, like, how's that got to do with them?
Yeah.
Sunday morning preaching is not the time to unpack this, I would say, under any circumstances whatsoever.
Yep. It's a sacred desk.
I agree.
Amen. You know, don't treat it any other way.
Amen. That's right. So the second one is this. You may need to carefully explain the issues to trusted leadership.
Well, you might. Yeah. If you think it's really critical about your church sponsoring or rather providing money to the cooperative program and things, and you've got some issues, then you should have some trusted leadership, whether it's your deacons, your elders, a group of trustees, somebody, and you might want to unpack that with them where you can take some time and fully explain what's going on. But I really do believe you do not need to back up the pickup truck and unload the whole thing on the congregation. I don't think they can process it. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that information. And again, I don't know that it's particularly edifying to help them. But I do think you may want to share that with some of your trusted leaders.
Yeah, I think in terms of kind of three concentric circles, I think as pastors, you need to be wise. Okay, on Sunday morning, who is my audience? My audience is made up of believers and non-believers, those who are church members, those who are not. What is appropriate and helpful to share on a Sunday morning? Now, I would say this. Obviously, if there are significant doctrinal concerns, that probably is appropriate. But what I would say is I would use that time to celebrate what God's doing, you know, in that group. And then you've got that next circle of members of your church. And members, as Southern Baptists, we believe in regenerated church membership. And so those would be believers who are committed to this church and hopefully are mature enough to be able to handle maybe some heavier conversation.
Sure.
At the same time, you're not going to unload everything on that group. You've got then the inner circle of however you're structured, your elders or deacons, and that's what you said, who I think, you know, maybe we need to have some honest, hard conversations together, but that's an appropriate context to have those conversations.
So just don't do it on Sunday morning. Don't unload it to people who can't process it. Deal it with some trusted leadership in your church. And again, don't let it seep out, even in your conversations.
Give us some examples.
Oh, you know, well, things are really bad. You know, the school systems are doing this, the government's doing that. And I hear some guys say, well, even, you know, there's even a drift in our seminaries. Mm-hmm. This is happening. Well, again, what's that person supposed to do with that information? Right. And that's a pretty broad statement that would be very much up for debate.
Yeah, exactly.
When every seminary professor signs, anyway, we're getting to a whole deal. But my point is, that's how it can kind of seep out.
Yeah.
And then that person takes it and goes, well, our seminaries are just a mess. Well, no, they're not.
Right.
He didn't even mean that. And when he said drift, and maybe he's just repeating what he read in social media. I'm just telling you, the adversary uses this for all kinds of terrible, terrible effect.
Yeah.
And just be careful, Pastor, what you say and how you say it and who you say it to.
Mm-hmm.
Guard your words carefully. Many people, you're the only thing they know about the convention. Mm-hmm. Maybe it be you. So be very careful about how you do that. Now, secondly, when you do want to share it with your inner group, if there's a problem or a concern that you might have, and I know I'm on social media, you guys are not shy about posting your concerns. And I work for a denominational entity, and you're not shy about posting, you know, things you don't like about it and so forth. Okay, I get that. So let's say you've got some concerns about the denomination, one of the agencies, and you share that with your inner circle. Please, please, also be sure to share with them the positive things that this convention has.
Yes.
If the only thing they hear from you is the negative, they're going to have a really disproportionate opinion of who we are.
Exactly.
I mean, when you think about it, and every time I do this, some of my folks on social media say, all you talk about is big numbers. Well, we are the third largest Southern Baptists are the third largest disaster relief organization in North America. Mm. You got Red Cross, Salvation Army, and then Southern Baptist. As we do this podcast, you've got all kinds of Southern Baptists helping people in Maui right now. Mm. And if there's a hurricane that shows up someplace in next week, they'll be down there. Wherever there's a problem, Southern Baptists are there to respond. You've got thousands of Southern Baptist chaplains in every place in the military, all around the globe, dealing with all kinds of military people who need all kinds of help. You've got thousands of missionaries in over 100 countries and some of the most unreached people groups. We got thousands of seminary and college students who are in Southern Baptist institutions learning that the Bible is absolutely authoritative and inerrant and infallible. Let me ask you, you walk away from this, where are you going to replace all that? Yeah. How is my church of 43 people going to impact the world like I can? So I'm not telling you don't bring up your concerns, but let your congregation, let those trusted leaders that you're sharing this with, let them know what's good going on as well.
Exactly.
Because if all they hear from you is the bad, they don't have really the ability to process all the good things that are happening in our convention.
That's exactly right. I mean, I'm in Colorado, and so it's already weird to be a Southern Baptist in Colorado, right? People literally don't even know what is that. Why are you here? We're not in the South, these kinds of things. And so there can just be – they hear the weirdest things about Southern Baptists.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so what we've tried to do is say, hey, look, let's really lean in to all the great things that God's doing through the Southern Baptist Convention. And let's win people to those things. Because a lot of people have no clue. Everything you just said.
Oh, and we talk about,
have any idea.
You know about student ministries? Tens of thousands of kids every week in campuses all across North America that are leading people to Christ, that are discipling people, that are baptizing people, all kinds of
amazing things.
It's incredible what's happening among Southern Baptists. Are we perfect? Of course not, but neither is your church are you.
That's right.
But
that's
nonetheless— Just you've got to be careful. If only thing your congregation hears is the negative stuff you may be seeping out about the concerns you have, then that's a disproportionate amount. Now, let's just be honest. There was a time when we had some really – most of our churches had really strong missions organizations like Brotherhood and WMU. Grateful for Women's Missionary Union Women's Missionary Union that's still out there in many of our churches – still doing a really good job of communicating the need for missions of education. But I'll be honest with you. I've been in church planting since 1978, actually. That was the first church I ever planted. And I've been working denominationally in church planting since 86. And there aren't very many new church plants that have a strong missions education program. Mm. Southern Baptist Missions Education
Program. Dude, you're totally right.
I grew up in RAs, Royal Ambassadors. I learned all about – we had the J.D. Black RA chapter. J.D. Black was a missionary in Alaska, so we named our chapter after him. We learned all about J.D. Black. Dan's parents were missionaries in Honduras. We learned all about them in RAs. We learned all about missionaries and Royal Ambassadors and Girls in Action. And then as WMU, you would get together every week and learn about missionaries, have prayer calendars of missionaries. Baptist Brotherhood would have breakfast to talk about missionaries. Many times in new churches, new Southern Baptist churches, there's no missions education. People have really no way of knowing what's going on. And so then when you show up and you've got, you're upset about something in the denomination and you sort of say it, that's the only thing they know is that the pastor's upset about this. So be even more passionate about missions education in your church as you are about maybe talking about some of the difficulties that the denomination's having.
Well, part of the problem, too, is these people really, for the most part, don't want to know.
I mean,
they know that there's some issues, but they'd far more like to hear about what does the Bible say about what's going on in Israel right now? You want to talk about drama, talk about the Middle East,
and then how
that relates to the Word of God.
Yeah.
So that's where your people are.
That's a good point.
With the convention stuff right now.
That's a good point.
But at the same time, I think it's important that you realize that part of your ministry is that you've got to communicate a love of what your ministry is all about.
That's right.
And that is far greater than the problems that that beset our convention.
And so even when you're talking to your trusted leadership about an issue you have with the convention, here's how I want you to do it. I want you to frame it in such a way that we love our convention. We love our seminaries. We love our agencies. We love the people who serve in them. We have some concerns about them. So can we talk about how we might make them better, how we can pray for them, how we can try to – in other words, come out from a positive standpoint, not just tearing them down. And Pastor, you don't want people just to tear you down in your church and what you do. And so when you're talking about denominational folks, I'm not telling you shouldn't have your opinion. That's why we have conventions. You know, I love it when we go to an annual meeting. And, you know, it's the largest, by the way, Dan, you know this, it's the largest Robert's Rules of Order meeting on the planet. It really is.
True.
You know, 15,000, 20,000. You know, back in 1986, 85, when I was in Dallas, that convention, over 40,000 people at an actual Robert's Rules of Order.
That's crazy.
And any messenger can stand up, you know, and make any motion and all that kind of stuff. And so you get some... You get some pushback. That's what the meeting's for. It's for us to come together and talk about this stuff and work it out and come to agreement and all of that. And so in a denomination like ours, which really all of our churches are autonomous and self-governing, they just choose to cooperate for the advancement of the kingdom. And so we come together. It is sometimes a little – there's a lot of gray area, a lot of unclear about how things are going and who makes the right decisions. And you can have very different opinions from people that you love and care about. But you can also express those in such a way that our heart is to make this convention better, to glorify God even more in it, and to help the people who are serving, whether they work at the seminaries or agencies or your state convention or your association. We're talking about those too. Yep. Or if you're not a Southern Baptist, whatever your denomination is, you have something like that. If your heart is that you want to help these people be all they can be in ministry and you really care about them, and yes, we have these concerns, but man, we want to work with them and make it better. That's such a better attitude than just cutting them down and just making them your enemy, so to speak.
Well, it just comes back to that, for the glory of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
that's right.
There's no way that you can define the glory of God when you go negative.
Right. Yeah. And so that's what the next one we have here in the show notes is. Just resist a critical heart and a spiteful spirit. Look, you don't. We don't drift toward holiness, all right? We don't drift toward kindness.
Yeah.
We drift toward a critical spirit and a spiteful heart. And if you're not, if you don't guard your heart and your mind and your tongue, you will drift toward just being critical. You know, I'm amazed at how much I can just sit, if I'm not careful, I'll be watching television. And I know Dan, you know, Dan's got a whole career in media, so he does this all the time. It's hard when we're watching media to look at it. Look, I went to William Jewell, and my media professor was Georgia Bowman.
Oh, my stars.
She was my dad's media
professor. I was just going to say, she taught when my dad was there.
I mean, this lady was old. But
And cantankerous.
But I did radio. I was the station manager there for a while at William Jewell. And I remember she was very specific about how you would – you know, the use of language on the radio and even your pronunciation and things like that. Well, that got into me. So now when I'm listening to television or a broadcast or something and I hear somebody just, you know, mess it up or use the language improperly, just drives me nuts. And so I can be watching TV with Jill or something and there'll be a commercial on that's just ridiculous and silly and I'll just, oh, how dumb is that? Or I'll hear a sports announcer say something. Like, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Well, you know, But what happens is, if we're not careful, we've sat there and we've just made like a dozen hateful comments in 30 minutes.
Yep.
And we kind of develop this attitude that I then have a right to say something hateful. And I really don't want to sit there and let my whole house be full of those kind of critical, condemning.
Yep.
I want to save them for people who really need it.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, man. I think as brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm so convinced this is just biblical. It's true. We should assume the best and not the worst of our brothers and sisters. And the reason is because the same Holy Spirit that resides in me resides in them. It's not you, Dan, as much as I love you. Why should I assume the best? It's not Dan. It's that the Lord's working in Dan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's even beyond assuming. It's ministry.
That's
I have the responsibility to bring out the
best. That's exactly right. And so how you lead, I mean, listen, if you've got an angry church, I hate to say it, it's usually going to reflect the heart of an angry pastor.
That's right.
If you see a joyful, unified church,
right,
you're going to see a pastor that leads with that. So how are you leading, and what kind of culture is being created based on your heart toward people?
We live in this imperfect world, and until we get to heaven, nothing's perfect.
That's right.
And so if you're always picking out all the imperfections, there's plenty to look at.
That's right.
So real quick, you don't need to unpack it to the entire church, especially as you preach. Guard your conversations. You may want to carefully explain it to a trusted group of leaders. But when you do, don't ignore the benefits of the convention and try to find some way to teach missions education in your church. and communicate any desire for change you have with a real sense that you want to help brothers and sisters be better. You want to help the kingdom increase. You do it in a positive attitude and resist a critical and spiteful heart. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude today with the biggie, keep off social media with it.
Yeah.
Just stop it. Yeah. I say that all the time, but just stop it. Some people I deeply respect and deeply love are on there every day, and they get in these conflicts with other people, and it can get kind of vitriol. And I'm thinking, the whole world looks at Twitter.
I mean,
I know the first century church. I know the first century church had disagreements. I mean, there was the Jerusalem conference. Yeah, I get that. But my goodness, they didn't go out to the marketplace in the city center and yell at each other in front of everybody. I mean, they did it in a closed setting.
Why do you think, Mark, in your opinion, why do we see this? Why do we see so many pastors? I mean, I know I've got my own thoughts, but I mean, seriously, it feels like an epidemic. It's just you know.
Well, they get their dander up, and I have to be careful. Sometimes I will post something, and somebody will just they'll totally misunderstand what I said. Yeah. And I don't look. I think you could look at my life's an open book. I don't talk about controversy. Yeah. I mean, so I'll just post something that's really not controversial, but somebody will read controversy into it. Yeah. And initially, in the early years of social media, I would respond to them. Well, then they would respond back. Well, then I would respond. Then somebody else. Then I'm down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah.
So I think we get our dander up. We don't like to be – we want to be clear what we're talking about. And then there's just so many people that get on there. And before you know it, you've lost the whole control of the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not a good place to have a conversation. And again, I just want you to know your church members, the unconverted – The children of Christians who have walked away from the faith because they think we're just a bunch of hypocrites, they read all those comments, guys. And you're not changing anybody's heart with 144 characters on X.
No, that's right. That's right.
You're just at each other's throats. And I just think if the world saw Christians behave totally different on social media, but when we behave like the rest of the world, they don't listen to us.
That's right.
When Paul and Silas were in jail that night, if Paul had complained that he's a Roman citizen and he shouldn't be here and how unfortunate it was or how illegal it was, the jailer wouldn't have listened to a word he said because he heard that every night. But when the earthquake came and the doors opened, the jailer said, "What? What do I have to do to be saved?" Because Paul and Silas were singing at midnight. Can we sing on Twitter and Facebook?
Amen.
Can we be different than the rest of the world?
That's so good, yes.
Just keep all this off. If you got a problem with somebody at an institution or agency, I don't know, pick up the phone and call them. Or write them a personal email.
Yeah,
but don't do it on social media. And by the way, the puppets. Remember we talked about the puppets?
I had a feeling you were
driving me nuts.
Bring them back in.
Yeah, so I have four puppets now, and their names are Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds. You remember Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds?
No.
You don't remember Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds?
Was this like a show back in the day?
No, Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds was
I grew
like,
up in Honduras. We had Pablo and Joaquin.
Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds were a group from the mid-70s. The 70s were the best years for music.
I don't remember.
Nothing's ever been better.
Hey, you know what? If you want to go on social media and criticize the puppet... And Hamilton, Fred,
Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds. And baby, I'm falling in love. This is your home of the hits. The request line is open.
We're so toast.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.